Blog Talk Radio.
Moment. Can I say it again? What a moment you have brought me through, God. Such a freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. And all I can give God is a hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah. 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 I am thankful to be here. Grateful to know that I have gotten another day. Thanking God, my light, He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. Good morning, family. Today is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm grateful that God has given me another day to sing his praises, another day to just say how good God is. On yesterday, I was so grateful and happy to celebrate my granddaughter's sweet 16, and all I can was breathtakingly beautiful. Shout out to the Best Grass Luciano, that tea family. You guys did the thing. It was beautiful. Thanking God for all of you, my extended family. And thanking God for just Table of Life Ministries family that came through. Wow, did you come through for my baby on yesterday? Great food, great fun, great family. Shout out to the Sacred Heart cheerleaders and football team who also came out to celebrate with my granddaughter and for her friends that came as well. It was beautiful. Her little court was gorgeous. It was just very, very nice. Thanking God for children. And thanking God that, you know, God puts what you need in your life when you need it. And so it is a pleasure to call her my granddaughter, my spiritual granddaughter, because God has not blessed me with biological grandchildren, but he has blessed me with the grandchildren he gave me. And so I am very, very, very grateful to be a child of God today. And to just be with you. So let's thank God together. And today we're going to pray from our prayer book, our prayer work yesterday. And it says this to me. I want you to understand what really matters. You may live pure and blameless life until the day of Christ's coming. Philippians 1:10 NLT. Father of love, I don't want to live an aimless life on a winding path to nowhere. Even if I never experience the success I hope for, if I live a life of love poured out to and for you, then there is purpose in it. Help me to stay on your path, not wandering over to the wide path that leads to destruction. I want to know you and choose you, Lord God, because you chose me and know me through and through. It's not about obligation, but of delight. Fill me with your joy that sustains through all seasons, not superficial happiness that changes with circumstances, but deep joy that has known pain, walked through darkness, and come out the other side, where joy felt impossible in the depth of the dark valley and pain caused out a deep hole. Your love flowed in and enlarged joy's capacity. Father God, I see that life isn't about taking the easy road, but seemingly your faithful love coming through in all of the turns and valleys and remaining connected and open through it. Father God, may my purity be found in living a life of continual surrender. God, I surrender to you. I am yours. Mold me, shape me, and white the woman you want me to be, God. For I give myself away. Tune me up, Lord. And Father God, I ask in the name of Christ Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Father God. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my friend. You are my savior. You are my everything. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for guiding me. Thank you, Lord, for picking me up when I fall down. And again, in the name of the Master Savior, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord. I'll say it again. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. To the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life, I can do more, can do nothing more than say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Because it has been a very busy week. Starting on Wednesday, as many know, I traveled to spend the day with my mother for a birthday. Then I traveled and picked up family at the airport. Then I went to work and then helped decorate for my granddaughter's birthday party. And now, whew, I got to get ready for church. It's another busy day. But you know what? I think God for it. I get excited when I think of the goodness of God, when I think of his grace and his mercy toward me. I can't help but say thank you. So thanking God this morning for his grace and his love, and thanking God for his word today. You know, we are in the 27th Psalm, which is also our title word for this morning. So if you will join me in the 27th Psalm. And, you know, I love it because it's also William Murphy made this into a song. And, you know, it just touches my heart when you hear someone say, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Thank you, Pastor McDowell. You know, and I love it. I will wait on you. Not the scripture. The scripture is, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? But when he sings, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who shall I be afraid? You know, that does something to my spirit. I will wait on you. I will wait on you. When we wait on the Lord, all things fall into place. So we sing, the Lord is my light and my salvation. whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army, my heart shall not fear. Though they war may arise against me, and this I will be confident. Whew. The war may rise against me, and this I may be confident. What are we confident in? One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Hallelujah. In the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not just a little bit, not just sometimes, but every day, every minute, every hour, to dwell with the Lord. Hallelujah. To know that he is my Father. He is my God. He is my friend. And he calls me friend. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as grieve out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you waiting on God this morning? Are you taking things into your own hands? Are you giving it up to the Lord so he can handle your situation? Or are you trying to do it on your own? I say, wait on the Lord. For the Lord is your light. The Lord is your salvation. Who shall you fear? The Lord is your strength. The Lord is the strength of our lives. I got to make it personal. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Just like David. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We got to walk in faith and not in fear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this mighty word this morning. 27th Psalm, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We don't need to be afraid of the dark when the Lord gives us his light. We don't need to fear the power of enemies when we walk in the power of God's Spirit. Perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18 tells us that. That means we are secure because we know God's perfect love protects us no matter what our circumstances may be. God's perfect love protects us no matter what our circumstances may be. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And for those that are just joining, moving forward, this is Bible study. The assignment of this show is to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, amen, in 1 year. I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And our prayer book is 365 Days of Prayer for Life. And we also have a little book that we read beginning of every book that we go through. And it's called Know Your Bible. 360, Know Your Bible. Title, just Know Your Bible. Yes, just Know Your Bible. And it gives a quick overview in 10 words or less of whatever book we will be reading. So those are my tools that I use, but I also have in my biblical arsenal my King James as well, but I am coming out of New King James. And it is for the ease of understanding of the word. So I thank God for New King James as well as King James. and we're getting ready to get back into the Word. So, again, thank you for listening to Moving Forward with Minister Bridget on Blog Talk Radio. Tell a friend if they want to hear the Word of God. Come on and tune in. Or call in to 213-943-3597 and get your daily Word before you go to work, as you're getting ready for work, or as you're just leisurely resting. Just hear the Word. God's Word will permeate your heart, your mind, and your spirit. And I am joined on many days by my spiritual godmother, Mother Valerie Bell. And so I thank God for Mother Valerie, as well as my pastor, Pastor Jesse Herring, giving honor to God and to the angel of the house that I attend, which is Table of Life Ministries. And as always, my pastor comes through thanking God for her being a part of my God grandbabies, my spiritual grandbabies. Thanking God for her and for singing her happy birthday. That just tears up our church. We love it and we sing it and we get enthused about it. So thanking God for it. And as we go to our life lesson for this 27th Psalm, in verse 13 it says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Christians do not merely hope for pie in the sky in the great by and by. We can expect and trust to receive God's help and salvation right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. In the heat of the battle, we can expect the blessing of God now. Thank God today. Seeking God's guidance, the 27th Psalm, verse 14. And I just got some life examples for you. You want to grab a piece of paper and a pen to write these down, please do. Seeking God's, life is full of choices, Dr. Stanley tells us. And if we want to make the right choice, those that glorify God and benefit us and others, we need God's guidance. All of us will eventually come to places and times when we will desperately need God's guidance. How can believers find that guidance? Seven words may help. Cleansing. We need to ask, is anything in my life hindering me from hearing what you are saying? So what is it? Cleansing comes by confession. 1 John 1:9. Surrendering. Submitting to the will of God is both a humbling and an uplifting experience. And we're going to go to those scriptures this morning. So please first join me in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. As I turn my Bible from being upside down. Again, 1 John, verse chapter 1, verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ooh, what a word. Surrendering. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to go to verse number 6. And it says this. Surrendering, submitting to the will of God is both a humbling and an uplifting experience. 1 Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Whew. We got to humble ourselves before God so that he can exalt us. Not us, ourselves, but God. So many times, folks want self-grandizing. See me, see me, see me. It's like the little kid on the playground wanting to get chosen for the basketball team. And they're my height, 5 feet tall, you know, and cannot jump. But they want to be chosen, so they stand in the crowd. I want, pick me, pick me, pick me. We got to stop and say, hey, God got me. Whether you pick me or not, I know I'm good. Hallelujah. Asking God's promises that when we ask according to, I'm gonna read that one more time. Asking is number three. God promises that when we ask according to, I'm saying it again, His will, He hears us. And when we know that He hears us, we know He has answered. Ooh. Even though the answer may come over a long period of time. 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He is. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Woo, hallelujah. What a word. And we're going to go to the 119th Psalm, which is something that I would tell anybody just to take some time out of your busy schedule and sit down and just spend some time with God in the 119th Psalm. It's the longest book, the longest chapter in the Bible. But I tell you something, it's the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, and it will, but it will take you somewhere. It will take you somewhere, and you will find yourself just on your knees saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, guide me. Lord, lead me. It will take you somewhere. It's a love letter. It's anything you need. It's in 119 Psalms. And it says this, meditating. God promises that His word will be a light to our path. 119 Psalm 1, verse 105 and 9. It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. When we talk about staying in our square, we're talking about staying on the path that God guides you with His light. That your square is the light of God. Your square is the blood of Jesus that covers it. Your square is everything you need and more than you could ask for. But if you get out of your square, you fall into darkness. You fall into the temptations of the enemy. But you stay in your square because you stay in the light of God. And then I love Dr. Shelley says, so the more we think about His word, the clearer our path will become. Hallelujah. And I like to say, the more light your square will emanate, will illuminate, excuse me. And as we go forth in verse number 5, believing in Mark's gospel. And we'll go to Mark. We're all over the word this morning. We're going to Mark chapter 11. And when we go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22-24, where it's spoken by Jesus. And it says, believing in Mark's gospel, we learn that when we ask, we must believe He's going to give us what we have requested. Mark 11, 22-24. And it says, have faith in God. But verily I say unto you, that whatso be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Hallelujah. You got to believe. And I'm going to read that again. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things whatsoever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Woo, what a word. Waiting. And we're going to go to Isaiah 64. We're going to the prophet now. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. As we read, waiting, God promised our behalf when we wait for him. Isaiah 64 and 4. But since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, not perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what ye have prepared for him that is waiting for them. And Dr. Sanchez, if we want to, we can run ahead of him, dash in and try to fix things on our own. Been there, done that, made a huge mess, or manipulate circumstances. If we wait on the Lord, then our sovereign, divine, omnipotent God will act on our behalf. It's our choice. And know that his will shall be done. Not mine, not yours, but God. And when we come to that understanding and belief, everything else falls into place. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up in, well, I can do it myself. Sometimes you can't do it yourself. We all need God all the time. He allows us to make mistakes because we think we're grown. As we used to say, our grandparents and parents and stuff, we think you grown. Don't let your mouth write a check that the bottom can't cash. Come on now, we better understand. We need to be quiet sometimes and listen for the voice of God. Not us, but him. And it says one more time, number 7, receiving when we obediently seek the will of God, we can be sure that he'll hear us and give us the wisdom we need to make the right life choices. Matthew 7 and 7. Again, what Jesus says, not what I say, but Jesus says, and it's a golden rule. Ask that it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Bam. And then we can go to James 1 and 5. And y'all know James is the bomb. You know, as the kids used to say in my generation, James is all that. I didn't realize how awesome James was until I did this job and took this assignment to read the Word of God in a year. And when I got to James, I realized, wow, he's good. James will tell you about yourself and not even hesitate to tell you about that powerful little tongue behind your teeth. James, don't play. And if we go to verse number 5 in James chapter 1, it says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, giving in. We got to ask. So many times we want, but we don't ask. And then we talk about how God didn't do this and God didn't do that. And I needed, you know, I ain't got time. Or the church. It's always the church didn't this and the church didn't that. I needed help paying for my mama's funeral, and the church then told me that they would give me what my tithes were. And girl, they come giving me a dollar. Yeah, I ain't ever going back. And then when your friend says, "But baby, what was your tithe?" Well, I gave a dollar. Then they gave you that today. So don't complain. Again, you got to do what you're supposed to do. You know, we got to do what we are supposed to do. And don't complain about what the church didn't do. What did you do? Individually held accountable for what we do or don't do for our own message. We can't blame Sister Susie for the mess that we are in. We can't blame Deacon such and such because we stumbled and fell and have a whole mess to clean up. Your mess is your mess, and you got to clean it. And then when you need help, God will send it. Hallelujah. And as we go on to this last section of our word, it says, you will find great peace and confidence in knowing that you are making choices based on God's guidance. Perhaps no one else will understand or agree with your decision, but you will have heard from the one who matters the most. Therefore, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our 27th Psalm, verse 14. And again, for those that are just joining us, seeking God's guidance. And these are the seven ways to help you seek God: by cleansing, by surrendering, by asking, by meditating, by believing, by waiting. Then you will receive what God has for you. Thank you. Let's keep it moving. We are going into our proverb words for this weekend. And in Proverbs, we'll be coming out of Proverbs chapter 10, starting at verse 9. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Come on now. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a clattering fool will fall. Me and somebody talking all that will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. Can I say that again? Love covers all sin. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life. The wages of the wicked is sin. Damn. It's all there. And I have read Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 through 16. And as we get into our New Testament on this New Testament Sunday, we will be in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 21 through Mark chapter 5, and it says this. So please join me in Mark chapter 4. Said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed?" And Matthew says, "Put under a bushel." It says, "Is it not to be set on a lampstand? But there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed." Woo! "Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed. When you hear, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. and to you who give, more will be given. But whosoever has to give, more will be given, and whosoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, but the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what, with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds of earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat. He was, and other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we perish? Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind beat, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now you've been with him, was with him when the sky opened and said, this is my beloved son. So how can you wonder who he is? Come on now. And I love the life example Dr. Stanley gives from Mark chapter 4. And it says this, when hardships come our way, do we respond, God, I trust you will bring me through this? Or do we tend to say, I'm doomed and there's nothing anybody can do? Bam. You got to understand, your words have power. God once sent a storm on the Sea of Galilee to teach Jesus' disciple a lesson on faith. Jesus had said to his men, let us cross over to the other side, Mark 4:35. And they should have taken his statement as a sure sign that he expected a safe trip. But when a terrible windstorm threatened the boat, they panicked, terrified disciples asked Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many times have we said the same thing? Don't you care, Lord, that this is happening to me? Don't you love me enough, Lord, to do something about this hardship? Jesus rebuked the wind, and immediately a great calm settled on the lake. Then he turned to his disciples and said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Ooh, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. We got to have that in our spirit. Lord, make my faith strong in your will. God has given us, each one of us, a measure of faith. Romans 12 and 3. And let's go to Romans 12 and 3 real quick here. Romans 12 and 3. And I'm coming out of King James for this. Romans 12 and 3 says, by faith through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. What is your faith like? Do you believe that God's got you? Faith says that we will recover and that our final state will be better than anything we have experienced thus far. Allow adversity to call your faith to action rather than into question. Adversity reveals areas in which you need to act in faith and not fear. When hard times come, say to yourself, now is the time to use my faith in a new way. The more you use your faith, the greater it grows. Ooh, Lord, you know the needs. You know the needs, not desires, the needs that I have. Hallelujah. We got to ask God to cover the needs, not the desires, but the needs. Lord, cover my needs. You know what bills need to be paid. You know what my finances are. You know what I need to do. We got to start calling off these things. Lord, you know that I'm having to deal with these medical situations. But I know that I'm healed. Because your word says, though, by them 39 stripes, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. Mark 4:38, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How often do we say things like this to our Lord when we get into some trouble? We question his love, not his ability. And yet, despite our lack of faith, he reaches out his hand and saves us. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love. Mark chapter 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man. There met him a man. And remember, in Matthew it was 2, but in Mark and Luke it's 1. And it says, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him. And why couldn't they bind him? Because he had a legion. And let's see what it says in the word. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. But he said to him, come out of that man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion, but we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. Think this through. This man had over 2,000, not one, not two, 2,000 demons in him. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the ones who had been demon-possessed and had the legion setting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to flee with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home and to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Ooh, what a word. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. But she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, see her who has done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said, Talitha kuma, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl rose and walked, but she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. What a word this morning. And a life lesson from Mark chapter 5:36. Do not be afraid, only believe. Jesus did not comfort the man upon hearing the news of his daughter's death. He challenged him to faith and said, regardless of our circumstances, God always urges us on to faith and away from fear. He said that something should be given to her to eat. Matthew 5:43. If Jesus brought the little girl back to life, why did he also put something in her empty stomach? God does what only he can do. He instructs us to do what he equips us to do. God has equipped us in the Lord today. Oh, what a message we have had this morning. I want to go back to Mark 5:19. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. The former demonic really wanted to go with Jesus. He probably did not think it was very compassionate that Jesus refused to let him do so. But Jesus' compassion is much more than merely being nice. Hallelujah. Jesus sent him on a mission. Jesus sends each of us on a mission. What is your mission today? And are you doing it? Is a question that I ask this morning. And as we get ready to wrap up, our prayer for today, releasing, right on point with our word this morning. And guess where it's coming from? The 27th Psalm. Praise the Lord. Can y'all say God knows what he's doing? God knows what he's doing. Our word for this morning on this 26th day of February is coming out of our title chapter of the 27th Psalm. That's when you know you're following God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. And that's NRSV. And when we go over to King James for this same word, in verse number 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says, Lord, in a world that is continually on the go, it is not my natural reaction to pull back from the pace and wait. There is very little these days that requires waiting, and therefore patience. However, I have found the richest treasure in the waiting time in my life, and I take hope that as I am waiting on you to come through in other areas, the results will be worth waiting for. Help me to let go of control of the areas where I need, not micromanage. Help me to wait on you, Lord. Fill me with strength and courage, not giving up hope that you will do what only you can do. May I rest in your word, knowing that your promises are always fulfilled. I will not be discouraged today. I remember your faithfulness in my life. Then you do the impossible and make the possible even sweeter than I could have imagined. You are good, and it's in your goodness I rest today. And the question for this morning is, have you seen God move for others who have waited on promises? Are you waiting on the Lord today? For the Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. Give it over to God today. Whatever the situation may be, let God handle it. Let God guide you. Let God lead you. And know that God is in charge of everything. And I say today, wait on the Lord. He is your salvation. Whew, thank you, Jesus. And as our word for the last is, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and you shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid to walk in your faith today. For God got you covered, coming in and you're going out. And as we go forth today, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And it says, no one can block the blessings that God has for you. No one can block the blessings that God has for you. And all I can do is say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And family, because I got to go to church and I got a lot to do today, I just say to you, have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that God got you covered. He got you covered from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. You are covered by God. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And may the Lord watch between me and you while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed so wonderful, guys. It is. Oh, yeah.